moving faster than Brother Mike.
You are.
Hey, you want that?
No.
You sure?
Yep.
All right. Yeah, they're going to use the pulpit and the.
See,
running Joe.
He always made fun of me. Now he's walking with a cane. Amen.
But that's only because Jamie told me to.
Yeah, amen. Well, God's good. Amen.
Yeah.
Are you glad you're in the house of God this morning?
Yes,
praise the Lord. I am too. How many of you people know who Red Skelton was? I don't know if I read some of this here before or not, but let me read a couple of things to you that Red Skelton says. Secrets to the perfect marriage. He says, 2 times a week, we go to a nice restaurant, have a little beverage, good food, and companionship. She goes on Tuesdays and I go on Fridays. We also sleep in separate beds. Hers is in California, mine is in Texas. I take my wife everywhere, but she just keeps coming back. I asked my wife where she wanted to go for our anniversary. She says, somewhere I haven't been in a long time. So I suggested the kitchen. We always hold hands, because if I let go, she shops. Oh, boy, I tell you. I used to like the old Red Skelton show. It was good, clean humor, you know. We don't see that much anymore, good, clean humor. All right, why don't you turn your Bible to Psalm 138 with me this morning to begin. Psalm 138. I've seen this slogan around for many years. In fact, Don Green has it on his Baptist flag that he had put together a few years back. It's called The Book, The Blood, and the Blessed Hope. Mark Staley, way before that, I heard Mark Staley. He was a good evangelist friend of mine. Was our president for our mission, about 30 years ago, I heard him preach a message on the book, The Blood and the Blessed Hope. And I never take notes. I'm just not a note taker. It'd probably be good if I did. But when I hear somebody else preach and I get a thought in my mind, I don't want somebody to say, well, you stole that sermon, amen. So now, like your pastor does of mine, I mean, I know he takes mine and he preaches them again and again and again, you know. And So anyway, I want to speak a little bit this morning about the book, The Blood and the Blessed Hope here in Sunday School Hour. Here in the book of Psalms, chapter 138, the Bible says, I will praise thee with my whole heart before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. It's interesting to me that the Bible talks about the word of God over and over and over and over again. Psalm 119 is all about the word of God. Every verse contains something about the word of God. In Psalm 119. Then you come to this here in Psalm 138, and he says, his word is above all thy name. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 20, verse 9, the Bible says, his word cannot be contained. It says, then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name, but his word is in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. He said, boy, it is inside of me, and I have to say something about it. You ever around somewhere where you have to say something about the word of God, amen? And sometimes because of a situation, sometimes it's just because you're talking to somebody and you and the Lord just puts in your heart to speak to them and share the word of God with them. Have you ever met somebody and the Lord spoke to your heart about saying something to them, you never said it?
Yeah.
Walked away regretting that you did not say something, amen? Well, we just need to talk. We need to speak up, amen? Landon, come up here for a second, will you? I want you to grab this chair back here for me. I get dizzy sometimes in the mornings, and I don't want to fall over on your pulpit this morning if I'm not hanging on. But he would, you know.
Oh, no.
I'll try.
Thanks. I try. Thanks.
I like him.
I don't. He's my grandson, and I don't like him anymore. You're done, man. No, well, he never has been my favorite. All my grandsons are my favorite. All my grandsons are great, and I have no great grandsons, but all six of them are great grandsons. Amen. Well, as we look at this word of God, we get to thinking about this. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. The Bible says in the book of Matthew. His word is highly esteemed. His word cannot be contained, and his word will not pass away. No matter what, you ever notice, and you go back to the beginning of the 1611, and even back before that, when they were publishing the word of God, and they would burn the Bibles, and do you realize what's happening today? People are doing the same thing in our own country. They will burn Bibles. They will get rid of the Word of God because they don't want the Word of God to be proclaimed. The devil doesn't like it when your preacher stands up here and preaches the Word of God. In fact, a lot of people don't like it when your pastor stands up here and preaches the Word of God. In fact, sometimes people in the congregation don't like it when your pastor stands up here and preaches the Word of God. And that's sad. Because I don't know, Brother Garver, but there's some preachers I don't necessarily care for their style, but I always get something for word, and I love hearing them preach, amen.
Yeah.
I might not like the way they do things or say things, but that's all right. I like the Word of God. Yeah. As they're preaching the Word of God, why should I complain, amen? And if your pastor is preaching the Word of God, why should you complain?
Right.
Amen? And so sometimes, though, when the pastor preaches the Word of God, he says something that maybe pulls some thoughts in your mind or pulls your heartstrings, and you're not ready to confess that. You're not ready to deal with that. You don't want to deal with that. So therefore, now you're mad at the pastor. Or you might look at your wife, you might look at your husband and say, you've been talking to him about me, you know. I've had people do that, man, I don't know. There was a young girl out in Connecticut. And the first time I met her, she's a preacher's wife now. First time I met her, she was with her mom in a church. And her mom was there, and I was preaching. She's got this leather jacket on, these pair of blue jeans on. I'm not saying you can't wear blue jeans, amen. She had a pair of blue jeans on. I'll never forget it.
Amen.
And she's sitting there like this the whole time I'm preaching.
Oh yeah.
She did not want to be in church. Her mom made her come that day, and she came. And boy, I tell you, she was upset. She did not care for that. And it wasn't very long after that that she got saved by the very grace of God. She told me, when I first heard you, I did not like you.
I didn't like you either.
Yeah, well, music's feeling. Feeling's musical, brother. Still, amen, just saying. But she said, I did not like you. She said, but then, boy, I got saved.
Amen.
And I tell you, what a difference in her life.
Amen.
And then she married a preacher's son, and then he went into the ministry, and now he's left the ministry, and he's doing great in the church, and he's a police officer now. And she loves the Lord. I tell you what, today still loves the Lord. And that's what we need, amen. Why? Because his word shall not pass away. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Mark 13:31 says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Two times we see that in the scripture. Luke 21:33, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Guess what? I think he's reminding us that his word is here forever, amen, ever and ever and ever, and will not change. It cannot be contained. It is highly esteemed. And then John chapter 1, verse 1, 2, 3, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. Yeah. Was the Word. Amen. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Yeah. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was nothing made, was not anything made that was made. Why? The Word. And there the word is speaking about Jesus Christ himself, the word, capital W-O-R-D. He is the very word of God. And he was in the beginning speaking the word at creation, amen. And so here we have the word of God, spoke the word of God, that you might have the word of God, because it cannot be contained. I tell you, I think that we need to realize how important the Word of God is in our lives. I don't know where you're at in your Christian life, but sometimes I slack on reading my Bible. Anybody else in here ever slack sometimes? You know, once you slack, it's a little hard to catch up, amen? Amen. It is, isn't it? You might catch up one day. You slack off for a week and see what happens, amen? And the more you slack off, the farther you get from the things of God. And the more when God's word is preached, the more that your heart does not want to receive it. The more you don't want to accept it. The more you don't want to do anything with it. So I think it's important for you and I, and I say this every message I have, I believe almost, that this ought to be a part of your daily life. And I know that sometimes Christians will read just a little daily devotional, you know, on the Baptist bread. Some I know still use the daily bread, but they will use they call it the Baptist bread, and there's other devotionals out there. And they'll read one verse, and they'll read a little story, and then that's their Bible reading for the day. I'm not condemning that. I'm saying we need to read the Bible, though. Right. Read the Bible. And it's good if you can read through it in a year. Read through it in a year. And I thank the Lord I was able to get through mine two times last year. Doesn't always happen, brother. Amen. I think that's the first time I ever made it two times. Amen. And but we need the Bible. And this ought to be important enough for you to want to spend some time in it every day as a believer in Jesus Christ. How many of us have televisions in our home? How many of us would admit that maybe we watch a little more than what we should? Amen? And usually when it happens, it's because we're not spending as much time in this, but it's not because that happens, but because we're not spending as much time in this, we fill our time with other things. So we ought to fill our time with this. And then we look at the blood in the scripture. The blood is very important. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 28. You may turn there. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 28 with me. Matthew 26 and verse 28. And the Bible makes this statement. It says, it says to you and I in the scriptures and the word of God, it says, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. His blood is plenteous. His blood is all abundant. His blood is altogether common. He said, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. That thought there are many does not just mean those who have been saved. It means it's been shed for everybody. only so many are going to get saved, only so many are going to trust Christ, but it was shed for the whole world. It wasn't shed for just a few people. It wasn't shed for just, as some would say, those who were the called, those who were the chosen. If you get saved, you're chosen. That's when chosen comes into place, when you get saved, amen? I was chosen before the foundation of the world means his foreknowledge. It's not talking about that he chose you, Josh, to get saved and chose somebody else to go to hell, or chose you, Rachel, to get saved and chose somebody else to go to hell. No, it's for everybody. His blood is abundant, the Bible says. His blood is altogether common, which was shed for many for the remission of sins. And his blood gives life. In John chapter 6, 53, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat of this flesh, and eat of the Son of Man, and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. His blood gives you life. The blood of Jesus Christ gives you, it's in abundance to give you eternal life as a child of God. I don't know how many times I've talked to people and they just don't get it. I didn't get it before I got saved. I didn't understand a lot of things in the Bible before I got saved. I didn't know the Bible. And I did not, can I tell you, I did not know that Jesus was God in the flesh when I got saved. I knew he was a son of God because I was taught that. I knew he would forgive sins because somebody told me he'll forgive you for your sin. And if you call upon his name and trust him and believe, he will save you. And that's what I did, not knowing that he was God in the flesh. But he saved me. Why? Because I called upon him, the name of Jesus Christ, underneath the Father, asking to forgive me for my sin, that I might be saved by the very grace of God. His blood saves you. His blood is applied to you that you might have your heart in his relationship with him. Amen. And then his blood doesn't just give life, but his blood purchased the church. Look at Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Acts 20, verse 28. I've got all these written down, but I'll give you a second to get there. If you're interested to go there, you can go there. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. The Bible says this, Acts 20, 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. And we know, what is the church? Who makes up the church? You make up the church. I make up the church. Amen. The church is not the building, although the scripture does talk about in the scripture when you come together as a church and when you come together in the church. So it's important to understand the church is the born-again believers who come together. And then in the church is a place where you might meet to worship as a born-again believer, saved by the very grace of God. So he purchased it for the church, he said, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Do you think the church is important to God?
Amen.
If the church is important to God, how much more important should it be to us? But yet every little thing will keep us out of church.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Keep us from wanting to go to church. Little things will keep us angry at the church. Otherwise, other believers, sometimes the preacher, sometimes another Christian, sometimes someone you might see someone come into the church who is not part of the church, but they got saved by the grace of God, and you see them, and the first thing that comes to your mind is how they did you wrong. Not, boy, it's good to see you, brother. It's good to see you, sister. Glad you got saved, amen. Glad you're here today. And then if we don't deal with that, it's not very long before that extends into the body of Jesus Christ. And then other people hear it from you, or other people hear, see there's an attitude problem or something going on, and pretty soon it affects the whole house of God. And he purchased us with his blood. He purchased you with his blood. The church ought to be important to you as a child of God. Amen. Not just, and by the way, not just to come in and sit in a pew, but to come in and be involved in the very things in the house of God. You ought to, it's important for you and important for me that we might be involved in the house and the things of God as a child of God. And then as blood justifies, more in Romans chapter 5, verse 9, the Bible says this, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. His blood justifies you, and his blood justifies me. We are justified, and I know that I've heard somebody say, well, this is a weak definition of justification. But when you look at the thought of justification in the 1828, and I still drift back to this thought that it's just as if I had not sinned.
Right.
Why? Because I'm justified before God. And when he looks at me as a born-again believer, saved by the grace of God, everything I ever did before I was saved, he no longer remembers. And if I do something wrong as I'm saved and I confess that to him as a child of God, he says he remembers it no more. He says he puts it behind his back. He says he puts it as far as the east is from the west. He says he puts it at the bottom of the deepest sea. That's God.
Yes.
Why? Because you are justified. Justified. You might remember some things you did before you were saved. Anybody else in here beside me remember some things you did before you were saved? And you might remember those things, but God does not remember them anymore. Someone else might remember those things you did before you were saved about you, but God does not remember them anymore. Amen. I've had people when I preach in Northeast Ohio all the time, because I was wicked. And I have people come out to meetings when they see my name in the paper where I'm going to preach, or they hear I'm going to preach because of a flyer was handed out. I had people come out and they'll say, we just had to come out and see if it was the same Mike Patterson. I said, nope, it ain't the same Mike Patterson.
Amen.
I said, I don't know that guy anymore.
Amen.
And they said, well, we can see there's a difference. I said, well, praise the Lord. Amen. And that's what salvation is all about. They remember the past, but now they see something new. That's how it ought to be in our Christian lives. People will always remember what you did. Amen. And if they're not careful, and if you're not careful, remember what somebody did, you will not see what they are doing now or what it's all about today. We need to have forgiveness in our hearts. Amen.
Amen.
We need to forgive people and trust people and love God. Amen. And we joke around, you know, Pastor, we say, I hate people, and I've said the same thing. I can't stand people anymore. But yet, what do? We love the people, don't we? Amen. And I know the truth, and you know the truth. We joke around, talk like that, but God knows the truth, amen. And I know the truth in my heart that I love people, I really do. If I didn't, I ought not to be a preacher. Well, that, you know, people from Michigan are questionable, let alone people from Ohio. I'm Ohio. Ohio State. Which we did win the Rose Bowl. That was surprising. Did you see that, brother? Boy, we stomped them, man, big time. All right. His blood also redeems, in whom, in Ephesians 1:7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Now listen, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. There's an article going around a number of years ago, a fellow wrote a book from California. And in that book, he made this statement. He says, it's not the blood that saves. It's the death of Christ that saves. And boy, he caught some flack from that. Man, you know who I'm talking about. I don't need to mention names, amen. He caught some flack from that big time, you know. And because the Bible says that without the blood, you cannot be saved. Sure, he had to die. You understand. And if he did not die, you could not be saved.
Right.
But the blood had to be shed, and it had to be shed while he was dying, that you might have forgiveness of sins, that you might be saved by the very grace of God. So if you take the blood out of the equation, you're not saved. I don't care. Christ could die all day long, but if it wasn't with the blood, because of the shedding of blood, you could not be saved here this morning. God saved you by the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ when you called upon him on the cross of Calvary. I don't understand how some people can't read that for what it says in the Bible. That's why I'm a KJV man. Let's just believe what the Word of God says, amen. Let's just trust what the Word of God says. And if somebody wants to argue about things, Pastor, I can let them argue all day long. Cause you know why? Because I know I'm right. And if I get to heaven and I find I'm wrong on something, guess what? I'm not going to remember that anyway. God's not going to, it's all over by the time I get to heaven, amen. But I know down here I am not going to change my mind on the Bible. I am not going to change my mind on the blood. I'm not going to change my mind on the justification. I'm not going to change my mind on Jesus Christ. I'm not going to change my mind. Why? Because I believe what the Word of God says. And somebody said, boy, you're awful narrow-minded. You're right there. About an inch and a half. That's how narrow my mind is, amen. About an inch and a half right there. I have a friend, Don Merritt, used to say, he said, Brother Mike, I am so narrow-minded, I can look through a keyhole with both eyes at the same time and see a straight line. So that's narrow-minded, amen. Well, I tell you what, his blood redeems, and then his blood draws us nigh unto him. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. Ephesians 2:13 says this, but now in Christ Jesus, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. His blood draws us nigh to him, brings us close to him. Before you got saved, you were far from God. You say, oh, yeah, but I went to church and I believed what the preacher was saying. You were far from God, understand. I don't care how many times you came to church. I don't care how many times you were baptized. I don't care how many times you said a prayer. But until you really got saved, you were far from the grace of God. And you say, well, I wasn't as bad as you, Brother Mike. You were far from the grace of God. I didn't rip off people like you, Brother Mike. You were far from the grace of God. I didn't do drugs like you, Brother Mike. You're far from the grace of God. I didn't get drunk like you, Brother Mike, all the time. Like, you were far from the grace of God. I didn't go to prison, Brother Mike. Guess what? You were still far from the grace of God. You were just as far from the grace of God as I was before I was saved. It's not what you do that separates you from God. It's what you are. And the Bible says you were born a sinner. Behold, I was shaped in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. That means not what she did to conceive me, not what she did, but it means when I came into this world, I was born a sinner. I came in a sinner, and without Jesus Christ, I would go out a sinner. Why? Because I am far from the grace of God. So he says again, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. He, because of his blood, it brought me up next to him. Amen. Brought me to salvation. And then his blood provides forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I love that. Amen. His blood provides forgiveness of sins. Colossians 1:14 says, In whom we have redemption through his blood. Now listen, even the forgiveness of sins.
Amen.
What a verse, amen.
Amen.
If there was no other verse in the scriptures, if you would take John 3:16 and put this verse with it, there's no reason why man couldn't get saved by reading the Word of God, amen. Just those two verses should want to bring you to salvation. Because he said, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Even. I have redemption, but even He said, but don't stop right there. I'm not just redeemed. It's not just paid for, but even the forgiveness of sins. So my salvation is paid for by the blood of Christ. But man, even on top of that, he has forgiven my sins. He has forgiven your sins. What a glorious, wonderful God we have, that he would forgive you and that he would forgive me. Especially that he would forgive me, amen. I still don't understand today why he would take someone sitting in a prison cell and speak to his heart and bring him to the moment of salvation, that he would trust Christ in a personal way. I'll never understand that until I get to heaven. And when I get to heaven, I'm only going to understand it because he's there. And I'm not going to have to ask him a question, how's that work? I'm going to know how that worked, amen. I don't understand it right now, preacher, but I don't know how it worked when I get there, amen. And then his blood gives eternal redemption. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12 says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, that was the Old Testament sacrifice, goats and calves. He said, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. And so his blood has brought us eternal redemption. It's not by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. His own blood. He entered in once into the holy place. When he shed his blood upon the cross of Calvary, I believe, Pastor, I know some don't hold to where I hold on this, but you remember when he told Mary Martha, don't touch me, I have not yet ascended to my Father. I believe at that moment he ascends up to the Father, offers his blood in the holy of holy place, and comes back to earth. Amen.
That's exactly right.
I believe it's right. That's, and I'm the same way, right, with the two men on the road to the Emmaus.
That's,
you know,
right.
That was it. I don't think we can be wrong on that. Amen. I've known some who, I'm not sure about that. Well, study the Bible.
Picture the Old Testament.
I mean, that's the only way you can. That's the only way you can accept what happened, what went on, amen. And then his blood gives us access to the throne. I like that, boy. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19, his blood gives me access to his throne, which you never had before the shedding of blood of Jesus Christ upon the cross of Calvary. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness by the holiest by the blood of Jesus. So I can come to him at his throne. When I'm going through a problem, I don't have to go through some priest down here. I don't have to go through your pastor to get access to the throne.
Amen.
I don't have to go to some priest. I don't have to go to the Pope to get access to the throne. Why? Because I have access to the throne because of the blood of Jesus Christ. So when I go to the throne, which could be every day, all day, if I choose to, all day long, I'm before the throne of God. Amen. And you are too. You come to him, you're before his throne. Tell him what's on your mind. Tell him what you're thinking. You know, sometimes we make our prayers so long and so elaborate. I don't know if God can get the meaning of it except for the Holy Spirit. I'm just being honest with you. And when we pray, it ought to just, let's just pray. Let's get on with it, you know. And I don't have long prayers, you know, and some people do, and that's fine. I'm not discrediting that, Pastor, you know, amen. But I'm saying that sometimes we pray around the world and pray more to impress people than we do for God to accept our prayers. But we have a throne to go to. Sometimes you're going to the throne might just be this: God, help me, please. Something that simple. Amen. He knows what you're going through. He knows. Amen. Then his blood sanctifies us. Hebrews 13:11 says, for the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate, on the outside of the gate. And so the Bible says he suffered for you that you might be sanctified. His blood brings you to the point of sanctification. Sanctification. There's, I believe there's initial sanctification, and then there is growth in sanctification, and there's final sanctification at heaven, amen, brother, when we get to glory. And sometimes we take that word sanctified, and I think we, if we're not careful, we can over-explain it, but it really, think about this. He's come to save you that you might be holy. Why? He's holy. He says, be holy, why? For I am what? Holy. So we ought to want to be holy. And I can't be as holy as God.
Amen.
Because I'm not God.
Amen.
And boy, the flesh jumps in there. The flesh jumps in. So how many of you would agree with that? The flesh jumps in so easy, amen. So easy. And it's so easy, if we're not careful, to give over to the, it might not be something ungodly and something terribly wicked. It might be our temper, might be anger, might be thoughts, might be bitterness, might be, amen, it might be those things. It might be those things that we want to say to other people that we would not say, not filthy language, but it would hurt them. But we need to be so careful as believers in Christ. And then his blood cleanses us from all sin. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us. What cleanseth us from what? All sin. I'm glad I've been cleansed from all sin. Not just one little sin. Not just one big sin. Not just one horrendous sin, but all sin. And then we see the blessed hope. I love the blessed hope, amen. As we study the word of God, the Bible says we see the blessed hope, his promise of coming. In Titus chapter 2, verse 13, it says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Looking for him. Looking for, that's a good verse, listen, for the Trinity, God and our what? Savior. Looking for him. Looking for God and our Savior. The two are one.
Yeah.
You know, the Holy Spirit there, but here, God and our Savior. And so, I don't know about you, but that encourages me. And even helps me more to understand that Jesus is God. Amen. But he tells me in that verse again, he says, looking for that, looking for. We need to be looking for that blessed hope. Do you look for the blessed hope?
Yes, sir.
I don't know. I'm sort of excited about that. I had a dream. I had a dream one time years ago, and I'll never forget it. And I don't know who was driving. Somebody else was driving in the car. My wife was driving, and I was sitting in the back seat sleeping. And I woke up. Well, I was asleep back there. I woke up, and I look up, and there's one little cloud in the sky. And then I see Jesus ascending. And then I woke up. That's a terrible dream to have, and wake up, amen. Right in the middle of the rapture happening, amen. Maybe that was a premonition and a warning. I don't know, but no, I know I'm saved, amen. And just simply saying, my friend, we need to be looking up. We got to look up every day for Jesus to come. Come, Lord Jesus. Maranatha, amen, Lord Jesus. And then we see the blessed hope, his empowerment because of it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. His empowerment for you and I, that we might walk and look and live by this hope by the resurrection of the dead from Jesus Christ. And then we see, because of the blessed hope, we have the abundant filling of God. Look what he says in Colossians chapter 1. Go to Colossians chapter 1 with me. Colossians in chapter 1. And over in Colossians in chapter 1, we'll read a... Now let me get myself there if I can get my fingers working this morning. Okay. Colossians in chapter 1. Now let's go down to verse let's go down to verse 27. The Bible says this, to whom God will make known what is the riches of glory by this mystery among you, the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's his abundant filling. He's in you. He's not outside here doing something else and then coming to you and then leaving, as we would see the Old Testament. But we see in the New Testament, he is in you. He is there forever. I tell you, the Holy Spirit of God right there to be able to continue to speak to your heart and draw you up close to him. How many times the Holy Spirit ever spoke to your heart and you don't have to put up your hand? I'll admit this, spoke to my heart about something I didn't do anything about, a preacher. Amen. Just sort of, you sort of ignore it. And it's still nagging you, amen, in the back of your mind, maybe a little bit. But the more you ignore it, the easier it is not to remember it, amen.
Amen. Yeah.
And then you read that passage again later on, the Lord says, you know, I talked to you about this before. You know, it's harder to get away from it the second time as it was the first time.
Yeah.
Then after a third or fourth time, you can't help but give in, amen. Yeah. Anybody else there besides me, you know what I'm talking about. We've been there, haven't we? Amen. Look what he says also in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. So here he says, don't be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye don't sorrow. He said, that you sorrow not. And even as others which have no hope. And I wrote down his comfort. Because of his hope, we have comfort. I don't have to be sorrow. I'm not in sorrow. I know that when I die, I know I'm going to be in heaven. Amen. As the song says, I'm glory bound. And I can't wait to get there. And he says in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18, we see his assurance. Because of the blessed hope. He says, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation. And God cannot lie, amen, and has never lied, will not lie. And who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. I have his assurance. Why? Because he cannot lie. Because of the blessed hope. I have blessed hope, and I have the assurance of blessed hope. I have the assurance of salvation. I have the assurance of the filling of the Holy Spirit. I have assurance of sanctification. I have assurance of heaven. Why? Because God cannot lie.
Amen.
Now, I have all that because he shed his blood according to the word of God. Amen. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I want to thank you for listening for this morning. And I don't know, my friends, this morning where you're at in your Christian life. I always like to give an invitation. And I'll give you this invitation this morning, and when I give it, you may remain in your seat, and I want to pray for you if I can. And maybe you just, I'm not going to be specific, maybe you just raise your hand this way and say, Mike, there's something in that lesson that where God spoke to my heart this morning. Could you just pray for me? God bless you. Others, how about God bless you? God bless you. Praise the Lord. Amen. You can put them down. Anybody else this morning? Anybody else? Father, I thank you, Lord, for these that raise your hand, Father. You know their heart. You know their needs, Lord. You know exactly, Father, what each one of us need. And Father, I don't know where you spoke to hearts at today, but I pray, Father, you'd have your will and your way accomplished in these lives and that you be magnified upon high. And we will give you the praise and the thanks and the honor in Jesus' name for what you've done here in the Sunday school hour. Be with us in the next hour, Father. Prepare our hearts in Christ's name. Amen.
Come on, buddy.
I'm trying. That's not the easiest chair to get on or